Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
During the closing ceremony, they cut to a montage of amateur runners and who took part in the Marathon for All, is what it was called. It was the first time they did this event at the Olympics, where non-elite runners could run the astoundingly beautiful route of the marathon through Paris. It was on Saturday night, because they had the men Saturday morning, the women Sunday morning, the women. And in between, the kind of amateurs were allowed to do a run. Emily McIlarney was one of them. She's from Dublin and she's just home now, isn't she? Good morning to you, Emily.
Well, in a plot twist, I'm actually in the fabulous utopia that is Beauvais Airport, because I missed my flight home last night.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
But that's a story for another day.
Is that really? A... Maybe
I'm
at the end of this.
With the heat here. I'm going to blame that.
Well, Paris is not the worst place to be stuck, but Paris Beauvais is not really Paris either. This is blank. Okay. But we were watching the montage of that, what looked like a really fun night in the City of Lights, under lights in Paris, the other night. It was Saturday night, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was incredible. Just incredible. I have done lots of different races and runs over the years.
Yeah.
But I have never experienced anything like this. It was actually quite overwhelming for a while in it, because just the support on the streets was unbelievable.
Wow.
Like, the Dublin City Marathon is famous for the support out on the streets. And I've done the Dublin City Marathon twice, but this was like that multiplied by 100. It was insane. And it was just such a fun, brilliant atmosphere.
Oh, my God.
It was, do you know what? It reminded me of, there was a lot of people running in it who obviously have always wanted to be an elite athlete and been in the Olympics. And they were having their moment. And you could just see it on their faces. It was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
So it was through all the lovely sights and everything of Paris. You've got the Olympics hoarding. You've got the 2 weeks of excitement that you've all been watching. This was a really special, special time.
Oh, my God. It was amazing. Like, running through the streets of Paris at night and everything lit up, and they put a huge amount of work into it. Like, at the starting, there was 20,000 people. I was doing the 10K race.
Yeah.
And there was 20,000 people in my race, and then another 20,000 in the marathon, the full marathon, which, hats off to them. Like, I have so much respect for them, because doing a marathon, running 42.2 kilometers is one thing, but doing it in that heat is mind-blowing. Like, it's absolutely mind-blowing. And, like, you know, Kipchoge didn't manage it.
No.
Hats off to Kipchoge too. Like, the world record holder. He didn't have a good day. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, it doesn't bode well for me at all.
But you had Hassan. What an incredible athlete she is, from the Netherlands, who had, she
Isn't
was a bronze
amazing?
In 10,000 metres, that rested for one day, ran a marathon and won gold medal.
Isn't she incredible? Like, I've been watching Hassan for years. Myself and my eldest son have always, you know, noted her prowess. She is incredible. But, like, that was just mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing.
So you weren't out to break any records yourself last night. You got 10 kilometres, I presume, on Saturday night. I presume this was just soaking it in. I mean, you couldn't really concentrate on the running, could you, watching crowds?
Well, come here, seriously, in the beginning, I had all sorts of notions about a PB, right? Because anybody out there that runs, you know, you're only ever racing against yourself, okay? And I famously don't have a race pace. I only have one gear. So whether I'm out in a training run or I'm in a race, it's exactly the same. I like to think that that's my great consistency. Obviously not when it comes to getting on flights. But anyway, so I was running at the best pace I could manage. And I had notions of a PB. I bought a rowing machine in the run-up to this race, you know, to increase my training. I did a lot of training. But
rowing helps runners, does it?
Well, it's just like cross-training. So it just helps, you know, build you up a little bit. But when I got wind of the heat I just said, nah, this is not going to be a PB.
This is for fun. Because it was very difficult to get into this, to be able to participate at all, wasn't it?
Yeah, so I was nearly 2 years trying to get into it. So what happened was I had been researching the Olympics because I really wanted to bring my kids to the Olympics. I really wanted to do that. So I had researched it for 2 years about how to get tickets and when you need to apply and all of this. And through that, I discovered this marathon port too, which was the whole, I suppose, belief around the Paris Olympics was there was a huge element of inclusion involved in it. And there was a huge element of equality, which really speaks to my own values. So when I saw that, I was like, I'm having a bit of that. And I started looking into it. So you had to download an app and then the app tracked your running. You had to do all these running challenges. Some of them were like very achievable and some of them were more difficult. But you could pick and choose which ones you wanted to do. And every time you completed a challenge and you were successful, you went into a draw for a bib for the race. Now, originally, I had my heart set on doing the marathon. But by God, I was very grateful that I didn't get the marathon bib, but I got the 10K.
Could you have cheated and maybe strapped a phone to a horse or something and got the time?
I did consider it. I considered lots of things about cheating. I did consider slipping myself into the marathon medal queue. But I didn't.
I'm glad. Yes, the equality theme of the Olympics stayed intact.
And I thought that might be wrong.
Yeah. And what I love about your story, Emily, is that you were, because runners can be intimidating sometimes, and it's like, they're extremely fit and very concentrated, very focused people. You came late to sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is one of the things I'm really passionate about. And I really, really want this message. If nobody hears anything else I'm waffling about today, as long as they hear this. I came to running. I had never run even for a bus until I was 35. And I had absolutely no experience in sport or exercise. In fact, for various different reasons, I believed I was not for sport. And I believed that my whole childhood and into my 30s until I kind of went through a really difficult patch. I had a miscarriage. I was really annoyed at my body. And what I wanted was, I really wanted to push my body to prove to me that it worked. That was some kind of headspace I was in at the time. And it was literally like Forrest Gump. I put my runners on and I started running.
Really?
And somebody in my community, big shout out to Rush, had started a Couch to 5K program just at that time. And I got involved in that, and which is like really gentle kind of run, walk, and you build it up really gradually.
Yeah.
Got involved in that and I have not stopped running since. And I've been running for 9 years now. I run very consistently. I do it 100% for well-being. That's what it's about for me. It's for my mind, it's for my head. And I was saying to the producer there when I was talking to her before, running is the only thing that I think I do just for me.
Wow.
Like I'm a mum, I work, I do a lot for other people.
Yeah.
But running is what I do just for myself. And it's pretty much the only thing I do just for me.
And you fulfilled your promise, by the way, of bringing your kids. You've three kids, have you?
Yeah, three kids. Yeah. Shamie,
what age are they?
Sonny and Elsie May. Shamie's 14 and Sonny is 12 and Elsie May is 9.
They must have been really inspired by going there.
Oh, it was amazing. We just had the best time. We went, well, the lads went to a football match. I didn't go to that one. I went to a second football match with them and that was in Parc des Princes, which is the PSG home ground. So the excitement was 90 about just being there. And we were all wondering, would we see Mbappe? And then we realised we definitely wouldn't see Mbappe.
and he's left the club.
And I can report that the Mbappe t-shirts are not reduced in price. PSG ones, they're still, still the same price dollar, here. Yeah. Which, you know, we kind of thought we might get a good deal. So we went there. We went to see Morocco versus USA in the football, which was absolutely brilliant. The Moroccan fans are amazing. They're brilliant. They're very like the Irish fans.
Yeah.
So we were honorary Moroccans for the day, which we thoroughly enjoyed. And then we also had the unbelievable privilege of being in the Stade de France for the heats of the women's 400 meters.
Wow.
Which was just Incredible. That was absolutely incredible.
Tens of thousands of Irish people, they've gone over there, they've come home with their stories and just lifted. The whole country is so lifted at the moment. It's wonderful to see. Emily, I want to ask you, because you said there that you started running because you were annoyed with your body. When you lose a baby through miscarriage, are Irish people, are we good at talking about the grief? Do we avoid that subject?
I think we're getting better at it. But I think it's not just Ireland, like it's everywhere. It's really, obviously, it's a difficult thing to talk about, and people have their own way of dealing with things, and people have their own views and ways of processing and managing these things. But for me, I was just, and it was, you know, I had had two really healthy, happy pregnancies, two good births. It was the last thing I ever expected to happen. But the reality is it happens to one in four pregnancies. So, you know, it's very, very common. And that response that I had to it was just, oh God, I'm so annoyed with my body and I want to really push it now. And it actually, through running, I kind of found forgiveness, if that doesn't sound weird. I kind of forgave myself. Because I realized how incredible my body was, having believed for such a long time that I was not for sport because I was a really overweight kid and just believed there was no place for me in sport. So, yeah, it was incredible. And I'm so grateful that I found running and that I do that. I run with a group in Lusk AC. So big shout out to Lusk. And my group is amazing. They're so supportive. And we're kind of the social runners of the club. There's some very serious runners there, but we're the kind of chatty, have a cup of tea on your way kind of runners. And they're absolutely brilliant. So I get so much from that. I really do.
I hope you had a little moment yourself in Paris at the finish line.
Well, I'm getting a lot of moments now in Beauvais here by myself. But yeah, look, it was amazing. And just, I did have a moment when I was running along. And by the way, I found it really, really, really difficult. It was really challenging. It was the hardest race I've ever done. Just because the heat really affects me. So I did have a moment where I was finding it difficult and running along. And I was like, God, Emily, you are running in a race as part of the Olympics. Like, just be in the now and just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And that's what I did.
Well, well done to you, Emily. Emily McIlarney. I knew you 20 years ago when you were Emily Tully. And
we
were young people working in Today FM with all our dreams. You were a newsreader,
but
you had a switch of a career.
I did.
What do you do now?
I'm a social care worker now, very proud social care worker. And I work for Tuzla. So, yeah.
You're doing good things. And that's what you meant when you said you were into equality and looking after people and so on. Because that was another thing you did. Yeah. You went back to education late.
I did.
Never too late for anything.
I ran my first marathon just as I started my degree, which was pretty bonkers. But anyway.
So you could take a day in Beauvais. No problem. You're ready for anything.
One thing I want to say, though, as well, is I fundraised for the Marathon Porto. I had a fundraiser for Sunnis, the domestic violence charity, who do really important work, both providing refuge for women and children who have experienced abuse or who are experiencing abuse. And they do really great work as well. Apart from refuge, they do great outreach work, working with survivors of domestic abuse to rebuild their lives, and great professional developments and all sorts of really good stuff.
Brilliant.
So I am so thrilled to have...
So you're suffering in Beauvais, but there's a meaning for it. Yeah. You did great work for that. Emily McIlarney, thank you so much.
I'm so thrilled to have raised.
My best to you and all the wee
ones.
Share
that page, that'd be great.
We will. So, what is the website? Sunnis?
It's idonate.ie. I have a fundraiser there.
Idonate.ie. And look up Sunnis and you'll get
10K,
all the details.
You'll find it.
Thank you so much, Emily. Bon voyage.
I hope you
get home soon.
Great to talk to you.
Likewise. Good
soon,
to chat
soon.
To you again after all these years. Bye bye, Sloan. Thanks so much. That's Emily in Paris. Still there all this time.
Text 51551. Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.